Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
At LV, our car insurance comes from the heart. That's why we've just launched our new multi-car cover. One policy and one renewal date means it's one simple way for you to save on your family's cars. So just imagine how much you can save by insuring 2, 3, or even more cars with us. To get your exclusive multi-car discount from the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. T's and C's apply.
Gamertag Radio is headed to E3 2017.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo direct from the convention center floor.
What are the plans for Microsoft? We're going to see more new titles from Sony PlayStation. And how about Nintendo? Interviews, roundtable discussion, previews, hand-on impressions, and more.
E3 2017 coverage on Gamertag Radio.
June 11th through the 15th. GamertagRadio.com or play.it/Gamertag.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 664. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, co-host of the show, Paris.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah, no, what's going on, man? No P for this episode. You're going to be joining us, I believe, on Thursday, so stay tuned. That's where we're going to start our E3 predictions. I know a lot of our listeners have been asking us, when are we going to do the E3 predictions? This Thursday. It's official. We're going to make it happen.
Well, think about it. After this episode, we only got 3 episodes until E3. It's crazy. Time is flying.
It is crazy. So we're going to talk about a lot of things. Paris, we definitely got to talk about what happened after we released our Destiny 2 and Far Cry 5 interviews. We definitely got to talk about that. A lot of great feedback, a lot of buzz. And, I believe we have a couple of questions from fan mail, and I have a couple of topics, especially I have beef with Friday the 13th, the game that just came out a couple of days ago. Definitely got to talk about that. All right. So head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes over there. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, so let's talk about, you know, the Destiny 2 and Far Cry 5 interviews that we released. 2 weeks ago was the Destiny 2, and last week was Far Cry?
Yeah,
Far Cry 5?
Mm-hmm, something like that.
A couple of days ago. But the reaction has been good, man. Let's start with Destiny 2. That one is like the oldest one. So what happened with that?
Okay, so this has been kind of amazing. The interview that I did with Mark Noseworthy and just the whole episode overall, it kind of went viral. A few days ago, because a lot of news sites started to pick up on it. And I did a little experiment. I was like, you know, I've been talking about doing video and stuff for a while. So actually, let me back up and tell this. The kind folks at Adobe sent me their cloud creative suite for a year, because for me basically to use for a year and test out and quote unquote be creative with it. Right. So when I got that, I was like, you know what? I got to start using this. So I fired up Adobe Premiere, and I had that gameplay footage from the Destiny 2 event. And I'm like, let me take the interview that I did with Mark Noseworthy as a test. That's all it is. It's just a test. I was like, let me just throw it up as a test on YouTube. And I just put it on my private, my personal channel and all that. And it took off, man. It got picked up. Like, I think as I'm looking at this right now, I got like over 10,000, close to 10,000 views on that video. Nice. And some of the top Destiny YouTube personalities start hitting me up. Like, shout out to More Console, Mesa Sean. And they start linking to the video and everything. And I just been getting amazing feedback on it. And then they've been linking to our full interview. And like you said, just all the comments on it and everything have been very positive. So it's inspired me. It's definitely inspired me. I think I'm going to try and do more video. I've been trying to learn Adobe Premiere and all that stuff right now and just throwing up stuff on my YouTube channel. So, you know, if you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel, it's the name of it's Paris, my name. That's it. Just Paris. You can subscribe to it and check out all the funny stuff that I'm doing. But going back to Destiny 2, yeah, it was a great interview with Mark Noseworthy. I mean, I really enjoyed it when I did it at the time. And, you know, I know people that have been downloading the podcast, you know, have been enjoying it. But it's great to see that, you know, we picked up on some things in that interview that basically no one at the event was talking about, you know. And, you know, I know I'm the Destiny super fan and all that crazy stuff. But, you know, I try to definitely ask the questions of things that I want to know about and things that I think other people in the community want to know about. So, yeah, a lot of positive stuff on that. Really, really appreciate all the feedback I've been getting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man, because I think this happens every time we get like a pretty big interview. It's just a vibe at the moment, because let's be real. Yeah, you have notes, but it was depending on his answers and everything. That's when you also came up with some of the questions on the spot, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, like you said, let me just go through my process when I do an interview. Like, I try to make sure if it's a presentation before, like, again, I'll just take the Destiny 2 thing. So when Luke was up there talking and everyone on stage was talking, sure, I'm all hype and excited, but I had my pen and notepad out. I'm literally, instead of me screaming, I'm taking notes the whole time, right?
Maybe you were doing both.
Yeah, well, kind of.
But let me write it down.
But basically, yeah. I took notes from the presentation, and then obviously I got to play the game. So I would take notes as I'm playing the game. And then I'm talking to other people that have played the game and just their reaction. So by the time I did get to sit down with Mark Noseworthy, yeah, I'm going through my notes like, all right, I know I want to hit these questions, right? So those are kind of just, you know, my key points. But then depending on his answer, yeah, I'm going to tangent and I go, I want to follow up on what he's saying. And then that just creates that natural flow of a conversation and all that. And like you said, that's basically how we try to do all our interviews. And then you even hear that in the Far Cry 5 interview that we did as well, you know, talking to Dan Hay, where it was, you know, we had a couple notes and key points, and then we just tangent off of that and ask questions, you know, because like I said in the Far Cry thing, he started scaring me at the end. So I tangented it out. I'm like, look, this is scaring me, bro. I don't know about this stuff. That's just our flow. That's just how we try to do things when we interview people and talk to them. So I think it's worked out well so far.
The thing too that I love about our podcast is I want the listener to feel that they are also there at the presentation, or they're there when we're having a conversation with a developer, you know, and that's the thing. When a lot of people email us, every time they feel like, man, I feel like I'm there with you guys at E3. I feel like I'm there, like, you know, supporting you guys, you know, so it's pretty cool. That's the experience that I want them to feel, man, every time they listen to an episode.
No, absolutely. And I even think I want to get away from saying interview and just call it conversation, because that's what it is. It's just conversation.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And another thing too about Far Cry 5, Paris, that's also been getting a buzz. Not because of the audio that we released a couple of days ago, but more of just the buzz of the controversy that this game is, which we mentioned in the beginning when we were at LA. I was like, man, Paris, this game is going to go around, man. I think this might be the most controversial game for Ubisoft in a very, very long time. So your thoughts about that too, because that's also is getting a lot of buzz too, right?
Well, that's
ever since the trailer got released.
Yeah, now that it's officially out and the trailers and everything have been released, and you know, people that, you know, went to the event that we went to were putting out their coverage on it. We're starting to see that this potentially could be one of the most controversial games ever. It really depends on how far Ubisoft wants to push the envelope with this game. Because let's be honest, we're talking about cults, mm-hmm. we're talking about religion, we're talking about militia, and we're talking about white supremacy. That's it. It is what it is. Plus, you're throwing in the current political climate that's in our country right now. All these things are going to be relevant in this game. It just depends on how far they want to push that envelope. Like, I bring up the white supremacy stuff. I doubt they push that hard, but it's going to be a thing that is kind of it's going to be the unspoken word in that game. You can tell with the premise. You're in Montana. It's basically all white people, right? The protagonist coming in is a person of color. You know, the priest is a person of color. How are they going to handle that? You know, how are they going to touch on those subjects? So it's going to be very interesting to see. Not to mention, like I said, religion is a extremely touchy subject in this country. Not to mention all the political ramifications that are going to happen, talking about cults and all that too. I can't wait to hear more about this game and see where they're going to push the envelope as far as the story goes. Look, we know the sandbox of what Far Cry does is going to be there. Just the weapons and the vehicles and everything that you're going to be do with that. I get that. The open world aspect, that's fine. The gameplay is probably going to be rock solid for the game. But what are they going to do on the story side? How far are they going to push it? Who are they going to piss off the most? Let's put it that way. That's what I want to see they're going to do with this game. So, you know, not to mention the politician in Montana body slamming the reporter this week, right as Far Cry 5 is coming out, was just like Ubisoft couldn't have paid, you know, money to have that kind of marketing for this game.
You know, I hit them up. I hit them like, hey, is this part of your marketing campaign? Because everything is happening now in Montana. It's so bad.
Yeah. So it's so So it's going to be very interesting to see. And this comes out in February, right?
Yep. February. And that's one thing I have to talk about, because on the episode, when we went to the presentation, you know, Ubisoft never mentioned about the date. So I was like, man, it's probably coming out this year. And we were wrong. It's coming out. They officially made the announcement. It's coming out February of 2018. So I think that's a good time because, you know, it's away from the holidays. Spring is also a hot time for a company to release a game. And especially a game like this, you know, Ghost Recon was released during spring. So I think this is like a perfect time for Ubisoft to release it, man. So it's good. Great move by them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, like I said, the biggest thing, because we both agree, we're like, man, this is going to be the big holiday title for them. So the fact that it's coming out in February, what the hell does Ubisoft have this holiday? I'm dying for E3 to know.
By the way, 2018 is also midterm election. So it's kind of smart for them to release in 2018.
Yeah,
but that's when you're going to see a lot of politicians like promoting, you know, and talking about the elections and everything and voting. So, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting year.
very interesting year. Absolutely.
Definitely. So, Paris, I have to talk about this because, oh, my God, I'm extremely pissed off, man. So, I think it was 2 years ago, I remember seeing online that they were going to make a company. We're going to make a Friday the 13th game. And they talked about the concept, which was pretty cool. Like, you know, one player is Jason and everybody else could be like the counselors and everything. I was like, man, this is awesome. This is a great, great idea. You know, multiplayer and everything. I went, all right. So I put in money to their Kickstarter campaign. You know, I even went to their E3 meeting last year while I brought with me Neil from the filmmaker of The Messengers in LA. I took him to the hotel for us to check out, like, Friday the 13th, I was like, man, I can't wait. I'm excited. So the game finally comes out. Came out for the Xbox, PlayStation 4, and also PC. The PC version, people are not having issues with the game. Great, cool. So I got my code from them through Kickstarter. I got my code, and I downloaded it on my Xbox One, and it's also available for PlayStation 4. So the game... The online servers is not working. There's no way for you to play the game. If you try to do like a quick matchmaking, you try to find like players online, it doesn't work. There's not any issues like that on the PC version. But console version, both PlayStation 4 and Xbox, not working at all. the only way that you could play this game, because remember, there's no single player campaign either. It's just strictly online. The only way for you to play is if you invite your friends and you guys do a private party room or private lobby and you could start playing like that.
Mm-hmm.
It pisses me off that, you know, there's people probably that don't have no friends. They probably don't know much about the game. They just see Friday the 13th and they're like, oh man, it's Jason. Let me download it. But when they download it, the game doesn't work. I mean, eventually people are going to get tired of that and they're not going to go online at all because of the buzz that's going around, you know? To me, it's just a waste of money. A waste of money. Like, why would this company, the developers, release this game knowing that the servers is not even working at all? Like, they just sent an email yesterday saying, was it yesterday or Friday? Saying, oh, we know the issue, so we're working on it. No, you should have not released this game at all. You should have released this when it was ready. Now it's like, I don't know. It's, to me, I just don't like when companies do that and they basically take the money from the listeners when they buy it and you're stuck. You can't play the game. You're stuck, you know? So I don't know. I'm just pretty pissed off. And I was very excited to actually play this game online with friends and random people online and everything. And I played it online with my nephew. It was just us two, cause I don't know who else has the game. It's cool. It's not the greatest, but it's a great, I had a great time playing it, but it's just the experience of trying to find random players online, not cool at all, man. Not cool. Not a fan of that. So if you're curious about buying this game, my advice is don't buy it until maybe they fix it in the future, because right now it's not working at all. So
yeah, and it's like you're saying, it's not working now, and by the time they potentially get it all fixed, everybody's going to move on to something else anyways. You know, that's the one thing. I'd rather them delay something. If your online aspect is not working correctly and it's a key component to the whole experience of what you're trying to sell, you're just like you say, like you said it yourself, you're pissed off about this. You're just going to piss off your consumer. You're really going to piss off your early adopters, you know, who invested in you even making this game in the first place. And it's just going to overall sour the experience of these Kickstarter campaigns and stuff, these GoFundMe campaigns to get these indie projects funded, because you're like, man, I remember last time I did this and it didn't even work right. I'm not doing it this time. And we're going to see a lot of great ideas not get funded because of that. And, you know, just even in the AAA gaming aspect, I'll take it back to Mass Effect Andromeda. I have no interest in that game anymore because they screwed it up so much at the launch, and so much so that the studio that made it, they basically disbanded them. Why am I going to go invest in that game now? Right? I'm not. Yep. I'm just going to go play something else. And then, like you're talking about Friday the 13th, you know, you're telling me all this. I'm not going to go buy that. Why would I? It has too many issues.
I know.
And like I said, by the time they probably get it fixed, We're into the holiday gaming cycle at that point. I'm distracted by too many other things to go back and try and play this game.
For the past few days now, I've been playing the ARMS. It's like a beta that they have. You could go online for like an hour. I believe it's only 6 days. So ARMS is available now, the beta, where you could play it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then next week again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, certain times. Paris is actually fun, man. I personally thought the game was going to be like the weakest launch game for Nintendo Switch. Man, I'm loving this game, man. It's a fighting game. For those that don't know, you don't have to play it motion-wise. You can play a regular controller too, which that's the way I've been playing the game. The lobby system in this game too, I find it better than even Mario Kart's lobby. I like you get to see like the icons of the players, the name of the people that you meet online and everything. Don't know if the servers are similar to the ones on like Mario Kart, where you see like the worldwide server and it's like a region server. So far, the way that I've been playing has just been strictly just go online and that's it. Another thing too, there's different game modes. So far on this beta, there's like a volleyball game that you could play with other characters, or you could play one versus one, two versus two, or you could play everybody solo. You're on your own. So you could do that with three players or four players like that. So it's a lot of fun, man. There's so many things to do in this game, and it's very, very entertaining. It surprised me. I think this is like the biggest surprise that I've seen so far from Nintendo Switch. Out of all the games that have been coming out, this is big, man. I think Nintendo has a pretty cool new IP that's going to become a hit, I think, once this game releases, man. So if you have a Nintendo Switch, I highly recommend you to download this beta, try it out. It's a lot of fun, and the controls are super easy. You don't need to do the whole motion thing. If you want to, you could do that. It's optional, but it's a lot of fun, man. So, and that's my dog. Great.
He agrees too.
He's agree. He's like, yep, I do, man.
Well, I'll say this. I'll have to check that out since I now own a Nintendo Switch, because, you know, we've not talked about this on the podcast since it went down. I got a Nintendo Switch earlier this week, and I have Mario Kart 8, and I have Zelda, and I barely played either one because my kids took it from me. It's gone. I don't even have it.
And where's they took over, huh? They took over.
Yeah, they took over. Like, literally right now I'm recording. My son is playing Zelda right now. I probably played 45 minutes of Zelda, something like that. And then he's been playing it ever since. And it's hard. It's so funny, just his reaction. He's like, why do I keep dying? I go, I told you this game's not easy.
But the game is hard,
yeah,
man. But I love the environment and everything. It's awesome.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. It's amazing. And you know what's funny? I've yet to even connect it to a TV. It's been portable mode the entire time. My son and my youngest daughter, they've been playing Mario Kart 8 nonstop on the thing. Like, I put that one picture on Instagram or whatever. They just sit on the couch and they put it, you know, they put it in the stand mode, and then they both grab a Joy-Con and then they just battle it out, man. They do it all day. It's funny. So yeah, Nintendo Switch is definitely a hit.
I'm planning to take it over there.
Yeah.
Capcom announced a new Monster Hunter game that's coming out on a Nintendo Switch. Double Cross, that one I believe is coming out this August, two months after E3, which is a big move. And I believe, isn't it Tokyo Game Show? Isn't that in August or in September? I can't remember exactly. But for those that don't know, this game is a pretty big game in Japan. Not so much here in the West, but man, I think this is going to help the sales even more in Japan, especially, you know, now that Zelda's out and Mario Kart. This is a big third-party game, man. Huge, huge announcement, I think, for Nintendo, man. So I think this is going to be good, man. So what are your thoughts about this, man? Because I know you never played a Monster Hunter game, right? You haven't played that?
No. I've been very aware of Monster Hunter and its popularity and everything. When I saw that news pop up, I mean, you know, Twitter just lit up. People got super excited. And now that I actually own a Switch and I get it, having that in your hands and being able to play that anywhere you go and the potential online aspects of it, you know, that thing's going to fly off shelves. And I even saw the Monster Hunter Special Edition Switch that's going to come out for it as well. Yeah, that thing will sell out in seconds.
Yeah, and remember, back then, this was like a very popular game for the PSP and also for the PlayStation Vita in Japan, you know, and also the Nintendo 3DS. So this is, you could play this on your TV or on the go. So it's a big thing, man, for them. Mm-hmm. Man. So yeah, big announcement. And that's the thing that I want to see when we go to E3, you know, from Nintendo. Yeah, they are going to have a lot of first party games, but we need games like this, third party announcements, man. You know, here's one thing I was looking on online. So there was a list of games that's going to be available for playable over there at EA Play, right? So I was looking at the list. I'm like, all right, so I see FIFA 18. I see Need for Speed. And then all the way down the list, it says FIFA for Nintendo Switch. I'm like, wait a minute. Isn't it FIFA the same as FIFA 18? This is like a downgrade version of what is this? Like, why it has two different names? I'm a little bit worried about that, because I think there's companies also that probably, at the moment when they were probably working on this game, they were thinking, it's not going to be like the Wii that was like a pretty big console. But now it's like, right now, this is like an experiment for EA. You know, like, okay, let's have this version out for Nintendo Switch. But why downgrade it? Why not just release a FIFA 18 instead of just FIFA Nintendo Switch? I don't know. A little worried about that. But now with the now that the console is selling a lot, the handheld, what do you want to call this? Console or handheld? I don't know.
It's a console. I mean, that's to me, now that I have it and I've played it and understand it, they've created this amazing hybrid that I literally have a full console experience in my hands that I can take anywhere I go. Like I said, Zelda is portable. And it's amazing. You know what I'm saying? A console version of Zelda I can take anywhere. So it's definitely a console. It's not a handheld.
Yeah. But your thoughts about that the whole FIFA Nintendo Switch version and FIFA 18, two different games.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I don't think anyone should be surprised by that. Because, look, it's still very early days for the Nintendo Switch. A big company like EA is not going to invest the full FIFA 18 experience that they're going to put out on, PlayStation or Xbox into Nintendo yet, because when that probably went into development, they weren't confident in what the Switch was going to be. I think what we'll see is starting next year, you're going to see a lot more investment into the Switch. What we're seeing right now are kind of these half efforts. All right, I'll put some effort into it, but let's wait and see how this thing sells. But the fact that now the Switch is pretty much a hit, companies are going to invest in it. Third parties are going to invest into it now. So I think we'll start to see the next year version of something like FIFA be like that full experience that you would see on a PlayStation or an Xbox.
I'm happy to see companies like Ubisoft always taking that risk, even if the console's a failure or not, because when the Wii U got released, they also had Zombie U for the Wii U that was made by Ubisoft. And I liked that game. I mean, it wasn't, game of the year or anything like that, but it was cool to see companies taking that risk, and now the rumors of the whole Mario and Rabbids game that's coming, the RPG game that's going to get announced during E3. Mm-hmm. Once again, if that's confirmed, which I think it is, at least Ubisoft once again is taking that risk. Like, look, we see the potential of this. Let's make it happen. Look, and now with Capcom announcing Monster Hunter, like, that's the thing that I like. I feel like EA is always taking the safe side. I don't see them taking that risk like Ubisoft and Capcom are doing, So, I don't know. And you're right. I think by next year, we're going to see more announcements of games that's coming out for the Switch. So, it's doing good so far, man.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, Paris, so I have something to reveal, man.
Okay.
Something to reveal. And now, let's go with this Miss Lear prediction.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. Now, I can usually tell you things about our future by using the power of my tarot cards. But when it comes to video games, only the guys at Gamertag Radio can give you the E3 predictions. You hear me?
So, I'm going to surprise Paris with this. The last time we had a conversation about Scorpio, Paris, you said that this system might be coming out in September. And I was like, man, you know what? It makes sense why people are going to wait, and so on. All these games is coming out on their holidays. Just buy it today, September, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you said last time.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this the other night, man. I think the reason why Microsoft is calling this Project Scorpio is because of the zodiac sign from the horoscope. So this means, I'm looking right now online.
Oh, this Jesus. Means that, I know where you're going. Okay, I'm listening.
All right, so right now I'm reading online. It says the zodiac sign Scorpio is between October 24th through November 22nd. Could it be possible that they are releasing this during that time instead of September?
No, it's... First of all, there's no way in hell they knew... When they say Project Scorpio, all right, this thing coming out in October, this is going to be the secrets, because they probably have had what Phil Spencer said it himself. Project Scorpio has been in development since the day he took over, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
There's no way back then they're like, all right, we putting this out in October whenever it's ready. So convenient coincidence. if it does come down that way, I'm not trying to take away your shine or anything, because it's a realistic possibility that it's coming out in October. But I don't think it's because of the name. I'm just going to put it out there. Sorry. I don't think that's it.
You know, if we do get to see, you know, Aaron or anybody from Xbox, you know, or, I mean, by the time they're really going to have the announcement of the name of the console and everything, I'm going to ask them, look, was it because, like, when companies come up with a name, like Project Revolution, that was the original Wii, that was the original name at that time, was Project Revolution. I can't remember the other. Do you remember the other the other consoles, like the Dolphin, Xbox 360?
Dolphin was Nintendo 6.
GameCube.
Was that GameCube? That was GameCube. Yeah, and then Revolution was Wii.
Was Wii. But see, I'm wondering why they came up with this name, Project Scorpio. Is it based on, is it because, remember, everything that comes out from Xbox, all the announcements, all the major updates is always November, which is technically the Zodiac sign, Scorpio. So, I mean, I don't know. I thought about it today. Tell me, listeners, do you agree with me? Do you think this makes sense? I don't know.
We'll see. I think you're reaching extremely.
What?
It's an extreme reach. But it's possible it can come out in October. I just don't think it's because they named it Project Scorpio. Sorry, I'm not going with you on that one.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
All right, but we definitely have, you know, E3 predictions next episode here only on Gamertag Radio, and P is going to be joining us too. And be prepared, Paris. It's all going to be all three major companies, Nintendo, Sony, and Xbox, all in one episode.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I'm excited.
All right, so it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, we have a couple of questions here, and this is cool. This is we have a section in our Discord channel where people also could send us questions through there, or email, voicemail, SpeakPipe. We're everywhere. So let's make it happen. So let's go with the first one. This is from Bro Burman. He says, hey guys, fan mail. This is for fan mail. What game franchise you would like to see drop at E3 this year? And what would it be? In your opinion, an amazing game idea to see at E3. Trying to hint at what Microsoft should do to produce the shock and awe they need against Sony at E3. Love the podcast, nearing my 1 year mark of listening. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for the support. Paris, I know you always bring up Banjo-Kazooie. Is there any other game that you think they need to announce that will create a big, big buzz during E3?
Yes.
Compared to Sony's. Which one?
Well, actually, I have one for all three major publishers or console makers, whatever you want to call them. So I'll start with Nintendo. I want to see a real successor to Donkey Kong Country for the Nintendo Switch. I want to see, it doesn't have to come out this year, but I want to see it get announced and at least teased. I want that. And then for PlayStation, I want SOCOM. Bring it back. I want to see SOCOM.
Good timing.
Yeah.
It would create a big buzz, I think, if they do.
I mean, with all the success that we've seen with Rainbow Six from Ubisoft, if PlayStation were able to come out with a next generation SOCOM game, I think that would be huge. A lot of people would be excited about that. And then obviously, like you said, with Microsoft, I want to see Banjo-Kazooie. That, look, you want to get me up and have security escort me out of the Galen Center, do Banjo-Kazooie. Or my Miss Leo, like I've already talked about, Perfect Dark.
I was going to say that. Yeah, that's true. All right, yeah, well, the Microsoft Perfect Dark. For Nintendo, bring back Metroid. Been a while. Bring back Metroid, an official Metroid game. And for Sony, SOCOM is a pretty good one. Man, I don't know what other game should they bring back. I'll stick with SOCOM. SOCOM is pretty good because they haven't released that in a very, very long time. So, but hey, if any companies would like to take the big announcement on this one, I would love to see Sega on stage at any of the press conferences. I don't care who it is, announce a brand new Jet Set Radio, Jet Grind Radio, or Phantasy Star Online. It's been out in Japan PC version for years. We're still waiting for the States. zero announcements. I think it'll be a great time to announce it in one of the press conferences. It could be in Sony, Microsoft, or surprise us, Nintendo on Nintendo Switch. Make that happen. All right, here's another one. This is from June 26. Hey, GTR, with E3 not too far away, I noticed you haven't mentioned much about Sea of Thieves. Yes, there haven't been much gameplay or announcements about it, but my question is, what do you expect from it so far? And what do you expect the popularity of this of the game to be? Love the podcast. Thanks for the email, man. So let me say this. Like, I played this this game, was it 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago? Was it last year?
No, it was last year. It was last year because I was watching you.
I played it last year. It wasn't, how I say this, it's, the game wasn't like you do whatever you want. This one was more of you guys working together from a boat. You guys got to work together and so on and battle other ships and so on. It was just more of a concept gameplay, right? It wasn't the official game. If they do show more gameplay at E3, show us more than that. I want to go to like the island. I want to start, you know, finding out where's like the treasure or bosses and so on, and play with other gamers too. I would like to see that instead of just you're stuck in the middle of the ocean and so on. And that's about it. I think they got to show more than just that, man. So I think the game is going to have an audience, but it's not going to be like a Destiny or anything like that. You know, it's going to have an audience there, you know, especially fans of Rare. They're going to buy this right away, you know. So, but at least Microsoft is doing something different, something new. So yeah, give it a try. I think people should give it a chance, and hopefully we get to see more announcements and more gameplay footage during E3.
Yeah. So, yep. Me agreed.
Yeah. And Paris, do you have any other questions there?
I mean, just again on the Sea of Thieves thing, they got a lot to prove to me to get me interested in it. Because from what I saw you play, I just don't see this being something that I'm going to invest in. I mean, we'll see. I'm not hating on it. I know it was just a limited slice of what we've seen. And this E3 is probably going to be the full reveal and blowout for it. I'm assuming this will be a launch game for Scorpio. Just show me more, man. Just show me why I want to invest into their, you know, online RPG co-op world. I need to see more. Because, look, swabbing the deck ain't enough for me. I need to see more.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so you want to read that one? Well, JT posted on the Discord channel in our fan mail section.
Yep, give me 1 second. All right, and JT, again, from our Discord channel, which if you're not a member of our Discord channel, hey, hit us up and become a member because it is a growing community with a lot of people talking and playing games every day. So JT is saying to me, or us, in regards, Mike Ybarra announcing that Microsoft is not forcing any frame rate parity between Scorpio and Xbox One, quotes up to devs. What do you guys feel about this and its effect on third-party games on Scorpio? This is a great one because I believe it was the creative director for Project Cars 2. I could be wrong on his title, but basically someone high up over at the team, that dev team that's making Project Cars 2, recently just came out and said that PlayStation 4 Pro will not affect anything that they do with the Scorpio version of Project Cars 2. And this really goes to what Mike Ybarra is saying. Microsoft is leaving it up to devs on how they use the power for Project Scorpio. So if the devs want to invest the time and squeeze every ounce of power out of Project Scorpio, they're going to be able to do so. It's not going to be limited. If PS4 Pro has a limitation that Scorpio doesn't, then if a dev wants to take advantage of the extra power, they can, be it frame rate, be it, you know, obviously going native 4K, whatever the case may be, extra lighting effects, you know, particle effects, anything that they can squeeze out power wise for Project Scorpio, it's going to be up to the developer. We already know that first party development teams from Microsoft are going to go native 4K and get every ounce of power out of that. Now, when you go to other development teams for third party, it's really going to look, PlayStation is the leader. So they're going to be the baseline for anything that's being done development wise, right? So if PS4 Pro can only do checkerboard, 4K, and 30 frames per second on games, then, you know, if they have the extra development time because Project Scorpio could potentially go native 4K and 60 frames per second on a game, it's up to the developer. Or the developer could say, I don't want to do 4K on Project Scorpio. I'm better off using that power at 1080p, 60 frames per second, max ultra settings. Going to be up to the developer, but that comes down to time and resources and just development time. You know, it could be, well, we only have enough time to get to do basically the PS4 Pro version of this game, and then we're just going to quote unquote port it over to the Scorpio because that's all the time and resources we have. But if they have the extra development time, then you're most likely going to see a difference. And Phil Spencer has said it on Twitter multiple times. From what he is seeing, Project Scorpio will be the best looking for third-party games. So it sounds like a lot of developers are going to take advantage of the extra power that Project Scorpio has. So, look, 2 weeks, man, 2 weeks, we will start seeing and having answers on what's going to happen, you know, with all these third-party games with regards to Project Scorpio.
Now, my question to you, Paris, do you think by Sony having that marketing deal with that third party, do you think that also is going to affect the development on some of the games? Because, you know, that they don't want the competition to look better than their game if they have their marketing deal. For example, you know, Destiny 2, that's a marketing deal that they have with Activision. Now there's a rumor that the new FIFA game, FIFA 18, now EA has a new marketing deal with Sony. That's another rumor. I don't know if it's confirmed or not. But you think that deal is also going to affect the development of the game or not?
It shouldn't. I mean, the only thing that the marketing should affect is exclusive content. And obviously, like you said, when you see a commercial on TV, it's going to say PlayStation or whatever, right? But as far as just... but as far as developing a game, again, if... You shouldn't, Sony shouldn't be able to dictate to a developer if they can do native 4K or frame rate, right? That shouldn't be a part of the marketing deal. So if it is, that's absolutely ridiculous. And I think if it were the case, we're going to start to hear that from development teams over the summer as we get into the launch of Project Scorpio, because then developers are going to be like, well, we could have done 60 frames on Scorpio, but Sony didn't really want us to do that. You know, obviously it's come out with Destiny 2 that the reason Destiny 2 is not doing 60 frames per second, it's a CPU limitation because, you know, Destiny 2 is a very CPU intensive game because of just a lot of geometry and the physics and the calculations that are going on in this, you know, co-op connected world. So the fact that the CPU is the bottleneck on PS4 Pro, you know, Digital Foundry's done a video on this as well. That's also going to be the bottleneck on Project Scorpio. It has nothing to do with GPU and teraflops or anything like that. It's all about CPU. So we'll probably see scenarios like that for certain games, but games that aren't limited by the CPU, Project Scorpio is going to have a definitive advantage when it comes to that, as far as being able to hit 60 frames per second and even going to a native 4K resolution. And again, going to Digital Foundry, because I love those guys. They even put out another video the other day talking about how PC could take some lessons learned from PS4 Pro, because the checkerboard rendering works. I play Horizon Zero Dawn in 4K. It looks amazing to me. I'm not going, man, I don't know about this. I'm not saying that at all. I go, this looks freaking amazing to me. So there, you could see developers take advantage of, all right, let's do checkerboard rendering for a 4K instead of native 4K, and then use that extra horsepower we got left over to hit 60 frames per second in GPU intensive games. Mm-hmm. So we may be seeing that from third-party developers with regards to Project Scorpio and PS4 Pro to be able to hit that magic 60 frames per second versus, all right, we're native 4K, but it's only 30 frames per second. So again, 2 weeks, we're going to start seeing and we'll know, you know, how these developers are going to tackle Project Scorpio and even PS4 Pro, because now we're going to start to see, you know, developers have now had basically a year with these dev kits, you know, on both platforms. So we're going to start to see what potentially they can unlock power wise. But I'm excited to see what Project Scorpio games are going to look like, especially the first party ones, because we know they're going to take full advantage of the hardware.
And not only that, but what features are we going to see on Scorpio that's not available on the other Xbox versions. That's another thing too. We might see that a lot too.
I think you're going to see, like,
you don't think so?
I think we'll see some 4K streaming stuff. Mixer. We saw that Beam got renamed to Mixer, and they're really pushing. They're going to be pushing that streaming platform. I think we might see some things like that, whereas Xbox One is, say, is limited to 720p or 1080p, but Scorpio is going to be able to do stuff like in 4K. But from a gameplay experience thing, it has to be parity across the board. You can't have a gameplay feature that's exclusive to Scorpio that people on Xbox One doesn't have, because it's all one family, right? So I don't think we're going to see anything like that.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. All right. So remember, head over to gamertagware.com or play.it/gamertag and listen to our past episode on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, 2 more weeks, man. I hope you are excited. It's going to be a big, big year. And I believe Thursday we have an announcement, our first one about our E3 coverage. I'm pretty pumped about that. We've been working on this for
this
a while.
This will be a big one for us. I'm very excited about it. It's just, you know, I'm honored and humbled that we're going to have this opportunity coming up here over the next few months. But
and we have more surprises too, like more announcements later. Once we get closer to E3, we have a couple more.
So, yeah. But before I forget, I have to give a shout out over to Scuf Gaming, because Scuf Gaming sent over to me their new 4PS Pro. Did I say it? 4PS Pro? Yes. 4PS Pro PlayStation controller and their new Impact controller for the PlayStation 4 as well. I actually did a video unboxing, so hey, go check out my YouTube channel and you can check it out. But and it's in 4K, because that's how I'm doing it. But I'm gonna have a full review of that coming up soon, because I want to get that out before E3, because I mean, we're obviously just going to be absolutely swamped on that. And then obviously you can go back and see a couple other reviews I just did for Logitech, their 4K Brio webcam, and a Steel Series, their Arctis 3 gaming headset. Blah, I can't even talk. I'm sorry. But you can go back and check those out in the past couple episodes, because I just saw someone on Twitter ask me about that review. So that's what made me think of that. But check those things out. Like I said, the Scuf thing will be coming here pretty soon. You can check out the video that I have. And that's all I got.
Well, we're going to be out until next time. Peace. Laters.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.